If you mapped out your body breakouts right now, would they draw like a perfect dotted outline of your favorite sports bra straps? Or maybe trace the exact waistband of your compression leggings?
Yeah, that is a surprisingly common phenomenon.
Right. Today, we are decoding this whole idea of acne mechanica, and we're uncovering the hard biological reasons why treating your back like your face is exactly why those stubborn breakouts just aren't going away. So, welcome to the PicTcot podcast. I am absolutely thrilled you are here today. I'm your host, Annabelle, and I am joined by my fantastic co-host and resident expert, Bill Pitcott.
The energy is definitely high today. We are taking a really comprehensive journey into a universally relevant topic and, well, stripping away all that unnecessary secrecy to look strictly at the biology.
Exactly. But before we jump into those incredible details, I need to let you know that today's deep dive information comes directly from the bestseller ebooks available on the PitCot ebook store. They are packed with actionable, life-changing insights, so visit www.pitcot.com/books to download.
It is definitely worth checking out.
And also, subscribe to our channel if you haven't, activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
That helps us immensely in bringing these rigorous deep dives straight to you.
So let's set our mission for today. We are going on an unabridged, exhaustive journey to understand and honestly, a completely banish body acne. I mean, we really have to laugh at the double standard here,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. The difference in how we treat our faces versus our bodies is wild.
It really is. Like, people will sit at a dinner party and cheerfully list the 12 steps of their facial skincare routine. But the second someone gets a clogged pore on their shoulder, they hide it under a sweater for 3 months.
Yeah, it becomes this huge taboo for some reason. But if you have pores and you sweat, you are going to experience this.
Exactly. So today is a friendly, completely stigma-free zone where we decode the journey of a clogged pore from the outside in.
Right. And to fix a structural problem, we first have to examine the landscape. The skin on your body just does not operate under the same biological rules as the skin on your face.
Okay, let's unpack this. How different are we actually talking?
Well, significantly different. The epidermis on your back, your chest, and your upper arms is physically thicker. It contains more layers of keratinocytes.
And those are just our standard skin cells, right?
Exactly, just standard skin cells. But crucially, the sebaceous glands attached to the follicles in these areas are massive compared to your face. I mean, they pump out a significantly higher volume of sebum.
Okay, so this is where I think the fundamental mistake happens. I look at body skin like heavy-duty denim, whereas facial skin is, like delicate silk.
That is a really great way to visualize it.
Right. But then we take our ultra-gentle Silk Safe facial cleanser,
Right.
rub it on our back, and feel totally baffled when it doesn't penetrate the heavy-duty denim.
Yeah, that heavy-duty denim analogy works perfectly because it highlights the structural barrier we're dealing with. But we also have to factor in the mechanical stress.
Which the face doesn't really deal with, right?
Exactly. The face rarely deals with intense, sustained friction. Your body, however, is constantly strapped into heavy backpacks, tight bra bands, and synthetic waistbands.
Oh, wow. So it's constantly under physical pressure.
Right. And this creates occlusion. When you trap heat and sweat under a tight fabric while simultaneously, say, pressing against a heavy gym bench, you are physically forcing dead skin cells and oxidized sebum deep down into those already enlarged pores.
Okay, which means a gentle foaming surface wash has absolutely zero chance of clearing that out.
None at all.
Right, so we have to bring in the heavy hitters, starting with our first line of defense from the Pitcot guides, the salicylic acid cleanser. And let's get deeply granular here because it's not about buying the harshest scrub you can find, is it?
No, not at all. It's strictly about the chemical mechanism. What's fascinating here is that the chemistry is what makes or breaks the routine. Salicylic acid is a beta hydroxy acid, or a BHA.
And why does that specifically matter for body acne?
Well, the defining characteristic of a BHA is its lipid solubility. Your sebum, that oil your skin produces, is made of lipids.
Ah, okay. So a standard water-based cleanser just washes right over the surface lipid barrier without actually breaching it.
Exactly. It just slides right over. Salicylic acid, however, breaches that lipid barrier. It actually melts into the sebum, travels down the shaft of the pore, and chemically dismantles the keratin plug from the inside out.
Wait, so it's essentially a specialized chemical agent that seeks out oil and dissolves the structural integrity of the clog. That is incredibly cool.
It is very cool. It gets right to the source of the blockage.
But I have to push back on the timeline here. The Pitcott guides emphasize a strict 2 to 3 week waiting period before judging results.
Yes, they're very firm on that timeline.
So if this acid is so effective at dissolving the clog, why can't I just, you know, use a higher percentage and scrub it away by tomorrow morning?
Well, because you simply cannot out-exfoliate your basic biology. Skin cell turnover is a biological process where new cells generate at the basal layer and travel up to the surface to naturally shed.
And that takes a specific amount of time, right?
Right. It takes roughly 28 days. Salicylic acid works by facilitating and normalizing that shedding process deep inside the pore lining.
I see. So you really can't just rush it.
Exactly. If you try to force that process to happen overnight by using harsh physical scrubs or massive concentrations of acid, you don't speed up the timeline. You just trigger an emergency immune response.
Oh, the classic panic routine. You get a breakout, you completely panic, you use the salicylic acid wash, then you use a harsh walnut scrub, then you throw on a glycolic toner, and you finish it with a strong retinoid.
Which is a complete disaster for your skin barrier. Doing that strips away your acid mantle.
That's the invisible, slightly acidic film that keeps moisture in and bacteria out, right?
Yes, exactly. And when that barrier is obliterated, the skin registers trauma. Its biological response to trauma is inflammation and, paradoxically, a massive upregulation of sebum production.
Wait, really? It produces more oil?
Yes, to try and recoat the compromised barrier. So you end up with redder, angrier skin, and more oil. The fundamental rule is to build a singular foundation first.
Meaning just stick to the BHA cleanser at first?
Right. Use the salicylic cleanser exclusively for a few weeks to let the cellular turnover stabilize. Do not layer multiple strong actives right away.
Okay, so let's follow that pores journey a bit further. We have thicker skin, larger pores, and heavy-duty friction. When we add real life into the mix, specifically heat and sweat from a workout, what is biologically happening to that pore?
Well, sweat itself is entirely sterile. It is just water, salt, and trace minerals.
Right, so the sweat isn't the actual problem.
Not directly, no. But sweat creates a warm, humid microclimate on the skin. And that specific microclimate is the ultimate breeding ground for Cutibacterium acnes.
Which is the bacteria that naturally lives on our skin anyway.
Exactly. When you introduce a spike in bacterial growth to a pore that is already thick with sebum and dead cells, the bacteria feed on the lipids.
Oh, wow. So it's basically an all-you-can-eat buffet for them.
Pretty much. Mm. They digest the oil, and their metabolic waste triggers a severe inflammatory response. That localized inflammation is the red, painful bump you actually see on the surface.
So what does this all mean for our daily habits? Because I always laugh, since so many of us are guilty of this. You finish a brutal workout, you feel incredibly accomplished, and then you just sit around in your damp gym clothes for an hour while you make a protein shake or answer emails.
Oh, it happens all the time. But you are essentially creating a microscopic swamp on your back.
It really is like leaving wet laundry sitting in the machine, you know? It's just going to breed bacteria. The Pitcott guides are absolutely unyielding on this. You must rinse that environment away immediately.
Yes, showering as soon as possible after sweating is crucial. The physical removal of the sweat and trapped heat is non-negotiable. But the method of drying off is equally critical.
Right, because we tend to just scrub ourselves dry with a towel.
And the guide mandates patting the skin dry, not vigorously rubbing it. Aggressive rubbing with a terry cloth towel causes micro tears in the epidermal barrier.
Especially when the skin is already flushed and vulnerable post-workout.
Exactly. So once you gently pat dry, we introduce the second phase of the chemical ecosystem, which is moisturizing with alpha hydroxy acids, like lactic or glycolic acid.
Okay, but wait, if salicylic acid is already doing the heavy lifting inside the pore, why do we need another acid on top of it? Isn't that breaking the rule about doing too much?
Well, it's a question of three-dimensional architecture. Like we said, salicylic acid works deep inside the cavern of the pore.
Right, because it's oil soluble.
Exactly. But those larger pores are often blocked at the very surface by a traffic jam of dead keratinocytes. Alpha hydroxy acids, or AHAs, are water soluble.
So they don't go inside the pore.
Right. They do not penetrate the oil inside the pore. They act entirely on the surface.
How exactly do they move the traffic jam then?
They target the desmosomes. Desmosomes are protein structures that act like cellular glue, basically tightly binding your dead skin cells together into a rigid layer. AHAs chemically dissolve those protein bonds. Without the glue, the dead cells easily slow off.
Oh, I see. So the BHA dismantles the oil plug inside the pore, while the AHA dissolves the surface cap that was trapping everything underneath.
Precisely. Together, they prevent the traffic jam of dead skin and oil.
It is a brilliantly coordinated two-pronged attack. The tunnel gets cleared out, and the exit is swept clean. We are going to dive into how the literal fabrics we wear map out our breakouts in just a second. But first, let's take a quick pause. Visit www.pitcot.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
It really helps us out.
Welcome back. So we've mastered the direct chemical interventions, right? We know the specific functions of BHAs and AHAs.
We do, but the Pitcot sources make it incredibly clear that skincare doesn't stop when you step out of the bathroom.
Yeah, applying the perfect, scientifically backed skincare routine and then stepping out of the bathroom into a hostile environment completely negates the effort. Here's where it gets really interesting, because we have to look at the fabrics that touch our skin 24/7.
Environmental hygiene is often the missing variable for people who feel like their products aren't working. And the most critical environment is the one you spend 8 consecutive hours in, which is your bed.
Because nighttime is when everything heals, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
During the night, your body shifts from a protective state to a regenerative state. Blood flow to the skin increases, cellular mitosis peaks, and the skin actively repairs daily damage.
Which makes applying targeted anti-inflammatory spot treatments before bed so powerful. You're handing the skin exactly what it needs right when it is biologically primed to use it to reduce inflammation by morning.
Yes, but here is the massive catch regarding the linens themselves.
I know, I used to think a slightly used towel or a week-old pillowcase wasn't a big deal.
It is a profound disruption to healing. When you sleep on unwashed sheets or dry off with a damp towel, you aren't just exposing your skin to general dirt.
What are we actually dealing with?
You're dealing with highly concentrated, oxidized sebum, shed keratinocytes, and actively multiplying bacteria. Unwashed linens mean you are reapplying the problem daily.
Doing a perfect skincare routine and then sleeping on unwashed sheets isn't just gross. It's like mopping your kitchen floor and then walking on it with muddy boots. You are taking skin that has just been chemically exfoliated, where the pores are open and vulnerable, and you are physically pressing active bacteria straight back into them for 8 hours.
That visual is intense, but biologically accurate. Changing your sheets and using fresh towels disrupts that cycle of reinoculation. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we see similar environmental mechanics during the day with clothing choices.
Ooh, the tight clothes.
Right. Synthetic, tight-fitting fabrics essentially wrap the body in an occlusive seal. They trap sweat and heat, which we know is bacteria's favorite environment.
This goes right back to the hook of today's deep dive, the friction maps. I was blown away by this concept in the Pitcot source, the idea that if you wear tight compression gear, your body will literally draw you a map of your breakouts, clustering perfectly along the seams of your sports bra or the exact waistband of your leggings.
Yeah, the specific presentation is called acne mechanica. Mechanical stress, which is the literal physical rubbing of fabric against the skin, induces a localized inflammatory response in the follicle.
So the friction itself is causing the breakout.
Yes. The friction shears the upper layers of the skin while simultaneously compressing the follicle itself, forcefully packing the debris downward. I advise treating those breakout locations as diagnostic clues from your body.
Because your skin is handing you a physical diagnostic tool. And the remedy for that diagnostic is beautifully simple. Rotate in looser, breathable fabrics, especially on your recovery days. Give the follicles a chance to recover from the mechanical trauma without the constant shearing force of synthetic spandex.
That simple rotation makes a huge difference.
So we have traced this pore's journey through surface chemistry, sweat management, and environmental fabrics. But we have to dig all the way down to the systemic root. What is signaling the sebaceous glands to overproduce that oil in the first place?
Right. This brings us to the internal environment, specifically diet, stress, and sleep.
And I'm going to push back incredibly hard here, because reading advice that says just stress less for better skin makes my blood boil. It is patronizing, it is impossible for busy people, and it honestly just creates more anxiety. Telling someone to just stress less is the most stressful advice ever. How do we realistically implement this in a busy life?
I completely understand the frustration with that advice. This raises an important question because just stress less is a platitude. But from a biological standpoint, we cannot ignore the mechanism of the HPA axis, which is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis.
Okay, walk us through what that actually does.
When the brain perceives chronic psychological stress, the adrenal glands pump out cortisol. Cortisol doesn't just make you feel anxious. It directly binds to receptors in your sebaceous glands.
Wait, there are specific stress hormone receptors physically located inside our oil glands?
Yes. And when cortisol binds to them, it forcefully upregulates lipogenesis, which is the production of lipid fats. It commands the gland to pump out thick, viscous oil while simultaneously triggering systemic inflammation.
Oh my gosh. So that massive, painful cyst that appears on your shoulder right before a major work deadline, that is a direct biological consequence of cortisol binding to your sebaceous glands.
Exactly. So the goal isn't a stress-free life, because that's impossible. We advise actively downregulating the nervous system to allow it to recover.
Okay, that makes it so much more actionable. The Pitcott source suggests creating what they call pockets of calm. It's an intentional 30-minute window before bed. No phones emitting blue light. Just put the phone down, dim the lights, do something quiet like stretch, read a physical book, or just breathe.
Right. It's not about finding inner peace. It's about sending a deliberate physiological signal to the brain that the threat has passed, thereby halting the cortisol flood. Lowering the cortisol stops the hyperproduction of oil at the source.
And the timing before bed is critical, right? Because it transitions directly into sleep quality, and we need 7 to 9 hours for overnight repair.
Absolutely. If you are chronically depriving your body of that 7 to 9 hour window, you are denying the skin the necessary hours required to lower systemic inflammation.
And we see that same systemic inflammation triggered by diet, don't we?
We do. Diet directly affects inflammation and oil production. Highly refined carbohydrates and massive sugar spikes don't just add calories, they trigger a rapid release of insulin, followed by a surge in IGF-1, which is insulin-like growth factor 1.
Let me guess, IGF-1 also stimulates the oil glands.
Powerfully. IGF-1 acts as an accelerant. It causes the sebacytes to multiply rapidly and drastically increases sebum production.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It also hyperkeratinizes the follicle, meaning it forces the skin cells inside the pore to shed aggressively, creating a massive clog of dead cells and thick oil almost instantly.
So a massive sugar spike is essentially dropping a biological bomb on the follicle. But the intervention strategy in the Pitcott guide is so reasonable, it doesn't demand you survive on raw kale.
No, not at all.
The strategy is built on small, compounding wins, swapping just one highly processed snack for a whole food daily, like replacing a candy bar with a handful of nuts or having an apple instead of chips. That single shift minimizes one major IGF-1 spike a day, which drastically reduces the structural burden on your pores over a month.
Exactly. Sustainability is the only metric that matters in skincare. If a diet or a routine is too restrictive, the resulting stress will negate the benefits anyway.
So let's look at the ultimate protocol. Let's say a listener has built this perfect ecosystem. They are using the BHA wash, following up with the AHA lotion, washing their gym clothes immediately, managing their cortisol, and eating whole foods. What happens if, after all of that, the skin is still sounding the alarm and actively breaking out?
The Pitcott guidelines provide a definitive timeline for professional intervention, which is the 4 to 6 week rule.
Okay, so give it a good month and a half.
Yes. If you have maintained this ecosystem consistently for 4 to 6 weeks, and the biological environment is still inflamed, yielding no results, or particularly if you're developing deep, painful cysts or noticing structural scarring, you must consult a dermatologist.
I really want to emphasize this point because there is so much unnecessary shame here. Booking a dermatologist is not waving a white flag. It is treating your body like an elite athlete would. You are simply adding a highly trained specialist to your personal wellness team. It is an absolute power move.
It really is the smartest move you can make. Body acne is a top reason for derm visits. There is no judgment, and it's not a defeat to seek help. Over-the-counter BHAs and AHAs are remarkable, but they are legally capped at certain concentrations.
Right. You can only go so strong at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A dermatologist has access to tools that fundamentally alter the biological behavior of the skin. They can prescribe topical retinoids, which bind to retinoic acid receptors inside the nucleus of the skin cell, to permanently normalize how those cells turn over and shed.
Or they can prescribe oral medications, right?
Yes, oral medications that drastically lower the systemic bacterial load from the inside out, which is something topical lotions physically cannot achieve.
And like we said, body acne is literally one of the most common reasons patients walk into a dermatology clinic. They see it continuously. There is zero judgment.
None whatsoever. The core philosophy we are extracting from the holistic approach in the BitGoss sources today is that clearing the skin is never about finding one miraculous chemical. It is about constructing an ecosystem of small, stacked lifestyle habits supporting one another.
Yes. Stacking habits is key. Don't try to implement all of this tomorrow morning. Pick one or two changes. Commit to the salicylic acid wash and washing your gym clothes faster. Once that is locked in, build slowly and add the AHA lotion. Build the ecosystem brick by brick. Be fiercely patient with your biology and, most importantly, be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with complex internal mechanics. Breakouts do not define you, and they are incredibly common.
Very well said.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to carry into your week. If our skin acts as a literal map of our lifestyle, showing us exactly where our clothes are too tight, when our cortisol is too high, or when we aren't sleeping enough, what other invisible habits is your body trying to communicate to you through physical signals right now? Thank you for listening to the PitGoss podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.